Friends in Christ and people of God, the church, grace and peace be to you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. This morning we are still stuck in what we call the quarantine life. We're still amidst the coronavirus after over a month, and life seems to still drag on. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm forgetting what day it is even. It just seems like it's all rolling into one, that time itself is gone. Some of you are enjoying this time, especially those that are maybe introverts. Some of you that are extroverts like me are having a rough time, maybe getting frustrated. And to be honest, a lot of us are even struggling. Some have been laid off from work, some have been fired altogether, and some are hurting financially. Now, it might be that we get a little bit of help every now and then. We might get some Trump cash. We might get a stimulus check from the government. It helps for a moment. But it doesn't calm our fears. It doesn't relieve our doubts. It doesn't help hurry this time along. And the fact of the matter is, this Easter, we're just like those original disciples. We're locked away in our homes, just like they were locked away in the upper room. And we're afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. Just like the disciples didn't know what was going to happen to them. Would they die next? Would the Romans or the Jews come after them next, like they did for Jesus? But something happened. Jesus, like he did at Christmas, stepped in. Jesus stepped in on Easter. And he appeared to his disciples. But there was one of those ragtag disciples that wasn't there that first week. So Jesus had to appear a second time the next week, Easter week two. And he appears to Thomas. Now, Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas. We like to make fun of Thomas, but he's no different than us. He's the reasonable one, right? He has to see it to believe it. Show me the money. Show me the facts. He's that kind of guy. He's a smart guy. So Thomas, thinking that the disciples are playing an April Fool's joke, he's saying, okay, if Jesus is alive, let me first be able to touch his nail marks. Feel his side where the Roman spear went in. After then, I'll believe. So, smart-talking Thomas begins to eat his words because next week in Scripture it says 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was there. And although the doors were still locked, they were still in isolation, Jesus came and stood among them. No apparition, no ghost, the physical body of Jesus, resurrected and purified, can go anywhere he wants still, like he was a spirit, but still body. And he says this, peace be with you. Shalom, you might say in Hebrew, that the Hebrew people, the Jews, still use today. Peace, forgiveness, wholeness be to you. It's all right, guys. And then he pinpoints Thomas. He says directly to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. I don't know about you, but that seems kind of gross, right? Nobody likes to even touch Band-Aids. Nobody wants to feel wounds or see blood. But for Thomas, he needed that assurance. He needed to calm his doubts. And so Thomas did so, and he answered, my Lord and my God, I get it. And Jesus responds, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. That's you. That's all of us. Jesus doesn't miraculously appear in our homes like he did that first week after Easter. He doesn't tell us to reach out our hand and feel into his side. But we still believe. Yes, we still believe. After 2,000 and plus years, We still believe in this resurrected Lord. We don't even get the chance to feel his side. Why do we do that? Where does this extreme, radical faith come from? Well, if you read a little bit further in John's Gospel, John chapter 20, it ends with this. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Did you get it? No? Let me read it again. These are written that you may believe. These are written, these pages, these books, these Bibles are written that you may believe. Folks, we have the Word of God in our midst. Whenever we open these pages, whenever we open our Bibles, we make the devil squirm like a little kid. When we pray, we testify that we have this faith in God, that he rose his son Jesus, and we have proof. Disciples were told about this Jesus, and they didn't get it. So, how do we move? How do we transform our lives from doubt to belief? When we doubt what's going to happen next day or tomorrow in our own personal lives. A lot of us are like Thomas. We need to see the money. We need to see the news come on and say, you're free, go back to normal. A lot of us need that assurance. But we have something that causes us to believe. These things are written. We have the whole story of God laid out before us, beginning and end. We have no excuse to not trust in God because guess what? God says he's going to do something and God does something. He proves his words time and time again. He told his disciples he was going to die and to rise again, and he does it. And he tells that to you, to trust. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen to this world, but we know that God is in control. In the midst of our doubts, God gives us this belief, a faith that is reasonable. Now, I said before, we don't get to necessarily see the physical body of Jesus. We don't get to see his nail marks in his wrist or the spear mark in his side. But do you know what you really do see? You still see the body of Christ today. You see the wounded people in our families and in our community. You see the people that are scarred by not just coronavirus, but by grief and death and the loss. You see the body of Christ, even not in this empty church, but in your own midst, in the people that you get to call or FaceTime with or Zoom meeting with. We're still the body of Christ, that we are risen with Christ. And that's how we can move from doubt to belief, that we have it not all together, but together we have it once more. That's going to be okay. There's a funny trite saying I think I've seen in coffee shops. We might not all have it together, but together we have it all. There's some truth in that. So remember that today as we talk about how God transforms our lives. He moves us from one thing to the other. And he's going to keep doing that throughout this Easter season. I pray God will open your eyes and your ears to see this great truth. Now may the peace of God transcend our understanding. And guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith, now unto life everlasting. Amen.